Brothers and sisters, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." This is God's word. Please be seated. Christ is returning for his church. Jesus warns us to be prepared for the end of the world. Be ready. Christ could return at any minute. He will. He said he would, and he will. He will return to judge. In Revelation, Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." The return of Jesus is to judge is imminent. Imminent means it could happen at any time. Jesus could return today. He told us this parable so that we would be ready to meet him when he comes. No one knows when it will be. You must be ready at all times. Now, in Jesus' day, marriage customs, to say the least, were a bit different than they are today. The wedding couple didn't go on a honeymoon, you know, Jamaica, all-inclusive resort, that sort of thing. Instead, they were treated like royalty in their own home. The wedding celebration lasted an entire week. No one knew the exact hour when the bridegroom would arrive. It could be during the day or in the middle of the night. However, when he did come and enter into the wedding hall or home, the attendants, that is the wise and foolish virgins in our parable, had to be ready to attend to the bridegroom. It wasn't permitted for the attendants to arrive late. It was also not permitted to walk the city streets at night without a light. If you walked in the dark without a light, you would be presumed to be a criminal, looking to do evil under the cover of darkness. This is similar to what we hear in the Gospel of John. "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed." Now you can see the predicament the foolish virgins found themselves in. The groom had arrived and would shortly go into the wedding hall, and yet their lamps were running out of oil, and they had neglected to take any extra oil with them. Without oil, the lamps would go out. So they went to buy more. But by the time they came back, the wedding had begun, and they could not enter in. The meaning of this parable is very clear. Christ is the bridegroom. The bride is the church. And the oil that is in the lamps is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit refuses to be poured out into the lamps of our hearts apart from the gospel. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter because he takes what belongs to the Father and the Son and declares it to us, preaches it to us. He takes Christ's sacrifice for our sins and forgiveness he won when he offered it to the Father on our behalf, and he speaks it into our hearts. He creates a faith that could never come by our own reason or strength. A faith that is born only from the gospel, where alone we find the power of God for our salvation. Our salvation is completely and utterly passive on our part. Our salvation is not ours because of us. It is ours because of what God in Christ has done for us. The oil is poured out into us through the gospel and the sacraments of Christ. It is through these God-ordained means of grace that the Holy Spirit pours out faith, creates and kindles and keeps the light of faith burning in our hearts. And in the parable, the wedding is heaven. And entrance into the wedding is only given to those who have the Holy Spirit, for only they have true faith. The 10 virgins represent the total number of those who are outwardly attached to the church. The wise virgins are the Christians who, when Christ comes again, are revealed to be the true members of His church. But there are those 5 foolish virgins who look just like the 5 wise virgins. They stand with them, but they have no oil. They don't hear the word of God and keep it, treasure it. And so they lose the Holy Spirit and the faith He gives. Instead, they rely on their outward purity of being virgins and looking like the others. But the Holy Spirit judges their hearts, not their outward appearances. The foolish virgins are those who attached themselves to the church but neglected the gospel and the sacraments. They heard but did not hear. They paid no attention to the gospel. It bored them. They thought it was unimportant. They had no use for it. They saw no point in the fact that God has promised to attach faith and His salvation to word, water, bread, and wine. The Holy Spirit delivered it to them. But because of the hardness of their heart, because of their foolishness, Jesus calls it, they stopped up their ears and rejected it. So when the day came that they needed it most, it wasn't there, and it was too late to get it. I guess they had never thought that far ahead. I guess they didn't really think. They were invited to a wedding and given a very simple task: to escort the bridal couple into the home. And they did not prepare for the possibility that it would be at night. Undoubtedly, they were dressed in pretty clothes. They were well-groomed. They looked outwardly just fine. They're not hostile to the gospel. They go to church. They participate in the life of the church. They call themselves Christians. They enjoy the company of Christians. They live lives that conform to the standards and decency that prevail in their place and time. They wouldn't dream of mocking God or embracing an outwardly unchristian lifestyle. If you would ask them, they would say they are Christians. But they have no oil in their lamps. They have no faith. The foolish virgins were fools because they did not see their need. They were spiritually dead. They did not repent of their sins and rely on God's grace in Christ, because it never really crossed their minds that without the blood and righteousness of Jesus, they were lost. So they were lost. The door was shut, and they cried out to be let in. And the bridegroom spoke the words that would echo in their ears for an eternity in hell. "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." So how can you be ready for the end of the world? How do you keep the oil? How do you keep the Holy Spirit? How do you remain steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting? How do you persevere and remain in Christ and stand upright on the day of judgment? Quite frankly, we do nothing. It is done solely by faith. Ah, you say, but what is faith? It's about as slippery as a word as you will find. This is faith. It's what lightens our way into the eternal wedding celebration. This faith is not produced within us, not made by us, not tailor-made by us for our own felt needs. No, it is the work of the Holy Spirit Himself, and He binds Himself to the gospel and the sacraments of Jesus. This is where the oil of faith is found. For this oil of faith, we flee to the Word. We don't wrestle inside of ourselves to create faith, for that is most certainly a false faith. It is the work of the law. It was our treacherous heart that led us away from the faith in the first place, and every time we've fallen into sin. No, if you would be certain that you have faith, look as far away from yourself as possible. Don't look at your feelings. Don't look at your experience. Even the most faithful Christian in the entire world, if they were to look deep inside their innermost heart, would find the doubt and disbelief that are the rotten fruits of our original sin. If you look inside yourself to figure out if you are saved, there is no doubt that you will despair. This is precisely why we don't do that. Don't ever ask yourself the question, am I really saved? Do I really have faith? Instead, ask yourself this: where is Christ found? Through what means is the Holy Spirit promised to work faith? Christ is found in the gospel and in the sacraments. So look rather to the promises that God attaches to the gospel and the sacraments. Your sinful heart will never be sure, but God's promises are absolutely sure. It is here where your oil will be filled. It is here where the Holy Spirit Himself kindles the blazing, all-consuming fire of faith in you. Hear the promise of the gospel, the words of St. Paul. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Hear the promise of baptism, the words of St. Peter. Baptism now saves you. Hear the promise of holy absolution, the word of Christ. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. Hear the promise of the Lord's Supper, the words of Christ. Take, eat, take, drink. This is my body. This is my blood, poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. Receive this oil of the Holy Spirit and turn the ears that you have to hear toward His almighty power. And this almighty power is nothing other than the good news. Now is the day to hear the gospel. Now is the day to believe it. Now is the day to take refuge in the wounds of Jesus, to find His grace in holy baptism, to find His forgiveness in the holy supper of His body and blood. Now is the day, because on the day of His return, it will be too late. You neither know the day nor the hour. Christ is returning for His church. But not everyone who is attached outwardly to Christ's church belongs to the church. The foolish virgins belong to the church, but they don't. They are baptized. Baptism saves, but they aren't saved. They hear the absolution. The absolution gives them the forgiveness of their sins, but they don't have the forgiveness of their sins. They eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper. This body and blood gives the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation from sin, death, and hell. But they don't have forgiveness, life, or salvation. Surrounded by these precious means of salvation, they are unsaved. Why? They fail to see what really matters. like the foolish virgins who were part of the group but had no oil in their lamps. They belonged to the church. They had their names properly recorded in the church records. They gave an offering and participated in the various activities of the church. But they simply did not believe. They did not hide that word in their hearts. They did not guard it, keep it, and inwardly digest it. It went in one ear and out the other. All that religious stuff meant nothing to them. They didn't even notice that their oil vessels were empty. Why should they care? And this is the mystery, and it truly is a mystery of the faith of a Christian. It is purely, completely, solely through the Holy Spirit that we are converted, strengthened, and preserved in the faith. We didn't accept the gospel. We didn't make a decision for Jesus. It was put into us, poured into us by the Holy Spirit through the means of grace. Martin Luther never said a truer statement than this. We are all beggars, every one. And yet there are some in the church, this is the mystery, there are some in the church who don't care about the gospel. There are people in the church who foolishly reject the gospel and they see no need of it. The oil of true faith only comes to the needy, the beggars, to you and to me. It comes now. It is here and now that you need it, because Jesus will return, as he says in the parable, when you are asleep. You won't have time to buy the oil. Repent of your sins. As his bride, you, the treasures of the bridegroom, are your own. His suffering is your glory. His death is your life. All that is his is yours. Because you, brothers and sisters, are the bride of Christ. It is through the gospel and the sacraments that he makes you a pure, suitable bride for himself. You are his own bride, adorned with purity forever. And the world calls this folly, foolishness. But we know that he will return to judge. He will create the new heavens and the new earth. He purchased this home with his blood for us. He promised it to us. He gave it to us in the precious gospel and sacraments. It is our home today by faith. But we won't enter it until Jesus the bridegroom greets us at the door and receives us in. And what a day of joy that will be. Just think of it. No more regrets or guilt for what you've done wrong. No more worry over what may go wrong. No more sadness or anguish of any kind. No more pain. Arthritis, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, depression. You name it. It will be gone. Forgotten. Never again mentioned among God's people. Nobody will ever steal again, or lie, or cheat, or lust, or tear down his neighbor. And we won't even want to do any of that stuff, ever. Our hearts will be so pure that no sin will ever come into them. This is the glory that God will reveal in his children, you and me. Those who found God in Christ, and found Christ in the lowly but holy means of salvation, the gospel and the sacraments. A simple word in the ear, a simple word read, water, bread, wine. So we treasure this oil, the gospel and the sacraments. Burning brightly, it lights our way into the wedding hall where true joy will be found forever. We pray for that blessed day as we echo the prayer of St. John in his Revelation. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. Will you please pray with me? O Jesus, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. O hear and grant our fervent plea. Come, mighty judge, and set us free from death and every evil. Amen. Now may the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus and the hearing of this gospel keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.